Hello and welcome to the How to Get an Analytics Job podcast. My name is John David Arianson and I'm your host. I'm what you would call a practicing professor. I have years of experience consulting in the analytics industry and I have years of experience teaching analytics in the classroom at Greensboro College. This podcast is an ecosystem that I developed for my students so that they could get world-class career advice from leading analytics experts. To date, my students have got to ask questions directly to analysts and data scientists from Amazon, Apple, and Google. They've even got to talk directly to CEOs, CMOs, and presidents of companies who have been former clients of mine to get insights on how senior managers use data to drive their business decisions. If you're interested in becoming one of my students, check the links in the description down below. I'm currently offering two programs. One is a one-month career services program, and the other is an analytics apprenticeship program associated with Greensboro College. In both of those programs, we take a three-tiered hybrid approach. So you'll have access to pre-recorded asynchronous lectures, live group lectures in a cohort setting, and one-on-one coaching with experts in the analytics space. On average, our students are gaining about a $16,000 pay increase going through the program. On the high end, we've actually helped someone achieve a $54,000 pay increase. This means that on average, our students are recouping their investment between 1 to 2 months of landing their job. So if you're ready to take your career to the next level, click the links in the description and apply for our program. I would love to get to work with you. With all that being said, I hope you enjoy this podcast episode.
Justin, how's it been? How long has it been since we've like had a face-to-face meeting?
Oh, man. A few months, right? Yeah, it's been a couple months, quite a few months, yeah, probably about, like 8 months maybe.
Wow, it's really been that long.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
So how's the job going?
Oh, man, it's been great, my man. Like, I'm learning a lot, doing a lot. It's been very, like, very fun. And just being collaborative with, like, a lot of people. And just working with so many different brands, too. It's just, like, it's been awesome. Like, I can't complain at all. I'm really loving it.
Awesome. So, okay. So I guess let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
So I when we first met, you were working at Whole Foods, right?
Yeah, Whole Foods. Yeah.
You just want to kind of tell the story from there?
Because sure.
Good for the students just kind of see. And then also, Craig or Liam, if you guys have questions, feel free to like interject and ask.
Yeah, for please don't hesitate. So I was, before I went to the company, man, I was at Whole Foods and I was what's called an e-commerce team leader. So, like, you know how you have Amazon, the Prime Now with the shopping in store and everything? So, I oversaw the e-commerce team for a store down here in Florida. And it was just, like, all about managing those KPIs and those metrics and, you know, just reviewing that data within Tableau and also within Amazon has their own internal system, which is Seller Central. So, like, reviewing the data in Seller Central and just managing various KPIs for pretty much the shopping aspect and how it was with in-store shoppers and the online version for customers. And a lot of the data that I looked at would be like the efficiencies of the shoppers, also like the in-stock and out-of-stock percentages for various products and how that relate over to the customer's UI and just overseeing that. It was pretty cool. Whole Foods is an amazing company. So, like, it was great to really be a part of that family. And, you know, from there, I segued over into the marketing analytics world with this company I'm at now, Tenuity. And my background, just to give you guys some insights, is I have my associate's degree in marketing. And, you know, I have my bachelor's degree in IT. They have helped, but I wouldn't say that, you know, like, it's a whole big necessary thing, but it has helped me a lot. And even before, like, or when I was working with Whole Foods, like from starting from a while ago, I really honed in and discovered I love like the analytics world and just dealing with data and like Tableau, building visuals. Like, it's something I'm very passionate about. Like, I can sit down on Tableau and spend hours just creating different visuals and so forth. So what I had did was I partnered up with a local like nutritionist and chiropractor down here. And he needed help with some of his marketing things. And I kind of used that to leverage some of my skill sets within Tableau to where, like, I would look at a lot of his campaigns that he may run through Facebook or on YouTube and things like that, and just pull that data and just kind of put visualizations as far as like what the demographics look like that he probably should target, or how do certain campaigns perform, like what more ads should you put out there, and just kind of built those visuals like that. And that kind of helped give me, not kind of, it helped give me some experience to like lay forth on my resume. So fast forward to now, I work with a company, Tenuity, a great company. I love it. I'm fully remote. I deal with data and dashboards every single day, work with a lot of top known brands, from like Reebok to Nautica, like just to name a few, and performing various analysis. And yeah, that's like, I guess my day to day, but it's pretty awesome. Like, I love it.
You guys got any questions for him?
Leon, I just had a question, but I lost it.
It's all good. So like what, I guess what triggered you guys to like follow down this path? Or like, are you into analytics now, or are you just looking to really get more involved with it? Like, what's some of your background, or what's your interest in going down the path?
Well, I picked up business analytics as a minor at the college that I go to. And I originally picked that up because like I'm a numbers guy, and you look at the numbers, and people that have this minor in my school tend to graduate at a decently higher pay scale than a lot of the people that graduate with just like my regular major, which is like the basic economics degree that you can get at Greensboro College. And I mean, I'm a computer guy anyway. I'm pretty good with technology and stuff. And so I thought it might kind of fit well into what I'm doing. And so far I'm having a good time. I've got an internship lined up that's going to be doing some data analytics. I think it's going to be like mostly Power BI presentations. That's great. Like an intern, but yeah, that's how I got onto it. So
awesome.
Lee, what about you?
Yeah, I was kind of, first 2 years, I was just majoring in business administration and economics. My guidance counselor came up. I think she was just trying to market the business analytics minor because there wasn't a lot of students doing it. She's pretty much the same thing Craig said. She told me that you can kind of graduate and have a bigger better opportunity to kind of make more money starting out. I really had no idea what it was, and Professor Arians's class, we did a couple of things when it's kind of like my first time really touching anything in business analytics, and I really enjoyed it.
That's awesome to have.
But my question was, was there a big difference from working in person and switching over to remote?
Yes, there is. I will say that like the company I'm with, Tenuity, they try to lessen that huge of a difference because of their culture and just how great they are. But like for me, I'm a big people's person. So like I love being in person and like collaborating. And so like that really, it was different for me to shift to fully remote. But going into it, like I love it a lot more. But in the same sense, you don't really get to, I guess, be in person and collaborate on ideas. So like if I'm in office, for example, what was cool is when I first joined Tenuity, they had offices like all throughout the US. And they've got rid of a lot of those offices. And now we only have, I think, like two or three in the US where it's optional. One in New York and I think one in California. But it's optional to go in if you want to. But I had went to the office like once or twice. What was cool was like if I'm working on a particular project, I might come across a partner of mine, AJ. Hey, AJ, like, what you think about this? Like, in person and so forth like that. So, like, that's kind of what I find that big difference is, and just really that personal relationship you can build. But even being remote, like, communicating through Slack and various other platforms I have, like, it makes it, like, just even great. Like, there's certain people I meet with once a week, and we just toss around ideas and just kicking it. So, like, it's great. Overall.
Yeah. So just to chime in there, Justin, I think the fact that you've worked for a while, going to remote is easier for you, because I've actually placed a number of people where their first analytics job is remote, and it can be really tough because exactly what you mentioned, where it's, if you're in an office, you can go over to someone's desk and ask, you know, for 2 or 3 minutes of, hey, can you help me take a look at this? So if you're just learning on your own and your manager isn't like, you know, super busy and doesn't have a ton of time to mentor you. And I don't even know what like mentorship in a remote setting would look like. I mean, that's actually a question to ask you, Justin. Like, are you getting much mentorship, or is it pretty much you got hired because you're in a senior analyst role, right?
Not yet. That would be my next role. So like, I'm looking to dive into the senior analyst role, but that is a great point that you mentioned as far as the mentorship goes. So like, what was awesome? I'm a person like I always try to take initiative and like just try to find ways. So like, when I noticed I'm coming into this new company. And things may be a little difficult. And, you know, I want to fit in comfortable, but I want to make sure that I'm understanding certain terms or things that everyone else may be speaking about or going through. So one of the things that I did was I looked at some of like the best analysts who was working here or who I've heard a lot about. And I set up a couple one-on-ones and like honed in on to like the guy AJ I just mentioned, to where like we meet once a week every Friday, to where I'm asking him questions and he's like, we're just going over stuff. Sometimes it might just be just a casual meeting, but the mentorship is very important in my opinion. And what Tenuity was great is they have like a mentorship program where you fill out a survey as far as things you want to know, what you want to get involved in and so forth. And they'll partner you with somebody who may be a best match. And if you feel like this person's not a match, you can kind of like go back into that shuffle and find someone else who might be a better match. And I think the mentorship has helped a lot, because when it comes to identifying certain things, like within the marketing world of analytics, is different from how it may be just like strictly business, because we're looking at various funnels when it comes to like online and e-com. So you might have like a mid funnel campaign, like an upper funnel campaign, and then just like you got display and social and certain aspects like that. Where like when you're in that business world, whether it's retail or something like that, like KPIs can be a little different. You're not really thinking about your cost for clicks if you're not looking at that online data.
We're going to take a quick pause from the episode so that I can give you some more information about our career services program. Over the last 4 years, I have developed a very effective approach to teaching the foundations of analytics. And I've taken that same curriculum from my case studies and business analytics class at Greensboro College and turned it into a career services program. So if you've ever thought to yourself as you're listening to this podcast, man, John David students are really lucky. You can have a very similar experience to them. Just check the link in the description down below. My career services program offers you an analytics foundations curriculum. So this will shore up any gaps in knowledge that you might have in landing either a promotion or maybe even your very first analytics job. And then you get to work one-on-one with me to help build your personal brand. So we will look at your resume and also help you develop a customized portfolio. All right, let's get back to the episode.
That's interesting. It's interesting. I thought you landed a senior role because, I mean, you've got a pretty high salary, right?
Oh, like you're, yeah, I did. Yeah.
I mean, you can share it if you want, but I mean, it's like, it's up there for, is it entry level, or would you have to like have worked for a while in the industry to be able to get that?
So within the role that I'm in now, I'm just the digital data analyst, is not an entry level. So we also have what's called an assistant data analyst.
Okay.
So you would usually, the average, I guess, employee joining the company would start from like a analyst coordinator to an assistant data analyst, then to the data analyst, which is my role, and then you have the senior data analyst.
Okay.
Yeah. So, with my experience, like, and I'm kind of happy I took on the data analyst role just as it is, because I'm learning a lot. Like,
yeah.
While I have great knowledge on things, I'm thankful to be like learning as things are going on as well.
That's interesting. So there's a couple of different kind of threads in my head. I guess the first one I wanted to talk about is, so I'm playing with the idea of like putting together like an analytics office hours, like a monthly event where like, because I think there's probably a lot of people in Greensboro that are working remotely. And it's like we would meet, you know, maybe on a Saturday afternoon and like have an hour of time where it's like, if you're stuck on a problem, you can bring it and we can all like talk about it, or you can get help. So I think that's, cool. that's a big challenge, right? Well, part of this, I'm like almost like stress testing this on like, Justin, I would love to have someone like you in that monthly meetup. Just to have that, like, I don't know. Cause one thing we're playing with is, would you be more likely to come on a Saturday or like a lunch hour thing?
I think more likely on like a lunch hour thing.
Okay.
But maybe like, I would say like maybe on like a Friday. So like Fridays for us, like with Tenuity, we have what's called like Flex Fridays. So like usually we don't have any meetings after like 1 o'clock, 1:30. But you know, we're still available. Like if something comes up or you got to take care of something, but everybody usually try to get all of the tasks and everything done like by end of day Thursday, or like by Friday morning, afternoon, and you know, where you kind of like can flex your Friday, you know, but like by all means, if you got to take care of something, you got to take care of something.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, that's a little bit self-interested to me, but cause I'm thinking about like how to make this up and running. Because what we could do is, like, if we got a pretty big core group of, you know, people coming on a monthly basis, then we could potentially start reaching out to companies and say, hey, we see that you're hiring for this. We've got 40 analysts that come to this monthly meetup. Come like, pitch your job. You can, like, meet people directly.
I think that'd be great. That's pretty huge. And it'll, yeah. like, it'll really, really open up for not only people like myself, but for, like, just many other people who you mentioned, like, recruiters and so forth. And there's even times where, like, as an analyst, like, you might get stuck onto, if you're doing an analysis and, like, you probably created a dashboard, you just get, when you're working on a project, you can be working on it for so long that you got to take a step back and you got to kind of clear your mind and just bounce ideas off of other people.
Right.
And then come back to it. So, like, being able to have an open forum like that, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, because... I don't know if you've noticed, it's funny talking to the students because they think LinkedIn is super cringe and the aesthetic is all wrong. Have you noticed there's been a shift in LinkedIn like in the past like 12 months?
It seems like there has, yes. I won't say that I've been super, super active on it, but there has been a sort of a shift.
What have you noticed? Because I'm curious, I have observations that I'm curious if we're on the same wavelength.
I guess like, while it's more of versus like the business strong strength of thing, it seems to be a lot more social and like, how could I phrase it?
It's like 2010s Instagram influence culture.
Yes. Yes. That's what it seems like that shift has taken place. Yes.
Yeah. It's really interesting that a lot of the most prominent data influencers just happen to be very pretty women now, and they're doing lots of selfies.
So true.
It's yeah. So true. It's like, I don't know. Something about it has just shifted. And also too, if you make like 10 to 15 like contributions to an article, you become a top voice in that space.
Oh, wow.
And there's no control for it. So people who are like 6 months into their career are contributing. And then now they're the leading voice, and it's like, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I still think LinkedIn is probably a good resource for finding jobs, right? Like,
oh, yeah,
that's how you found Tenuity, right?
Yeah.
Or was it Dice?
No, it was LinkedIn. One of the HR, a lady from HR reached out to me through LinkedIn. And yeah, that's how I came across Tenuity. And I think LinkedIn is great for like finding jobs because you get a lot of like recruiters or just members from HR who will reach out to you. Like if your profile is set up nice, and which I'm gonna be honest, which I think John has a great foundation for making sure you have a solid layout for your profile and for your resume, that it kind of like it reels in what you're looking to get, and it makes recruiters come to you. So I think he helped me a lot within that aspect. And yeah, you definitely will get a lot of hits. Like I can't even deny that. And I'm not trying to boast or brag, but like I get people who might inbox me and
no, tell me. I want to hear all about it. Like getting like how many recruiters are reaching out to you like a week or a monthly basis?
It's slowed down now, but I can honestly say if I were to look at an average just for like this year, I would say I would have maybe about 2 to 3 hits a week. But like now it has slowed down some. But beforehand, like when I was just really actively looking and so forth, but yeah, about 2 to 3 hits a week. So like I highly recommend like applying for things on LinkedIn and like going through, if you see a post that you like share it, like it, comment it, and get yourself active on it. Like it does seem more of like that 2010 like social world, but yeah. Don't let that discourage you. Like if you know the path you want to get onto, like.
Well, hold on. I'm taking a look at your LinkedIn right now. Okay, Justin, you haven't posted in 2 months. So I think, I think the students are fighting me. Like Craig and Liam are like,
I can't hear you, John.
Oh, can you guys hear me? Oh, weird. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Uh-oh.
I can hear you.
I wonder if it's his headphones.
I wonder if he can hear us.
Hey, you guys hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
We can hear you.
That's weird. All right.
You can hear me now?
No.
Yeah, huh. Let's see.
Let me try. I'm going to log out and log back in.
Okay. So yeah, but I mean, that's proof right there that like I'm designing this course so that you guys basically are building a landing page with your LinkedIn. So like, as you get your jobs, you'll have more opportunities coming your way. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yeah.
It's weird. And I can't hear you guys. Wow.
Can you maybe unplug your headphones?
I have to put it in the chat.
Yeah, let me chat. I'll put it. That's weird because we can hear him. But okay, what else?
I can hear you guys.
You can hear me now? All right, very good. But so, Justin, I guess the advice that I've been telling the students is look at LinkedIn as more of like a landing page because you're getting recruiters reaching out to you. And like, I just checked your LinkedIn, the last activity you had was like 2 months ago. So I don't
know. The last
like time you, like looking at your LinkedIn, I think you posted something 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah.
So yeah, so like I'm kind of leaning towards like it's a little bit of a waste of time to post on LinkedIn unless you want to try to sell people something.
I agree.
It's like it's shifted into basically like a influencer guru.
Yes.
We're going to make money fast, or I'm going to get you a job in 90 days, and it's just I don't know. It has really soured for me, and that's part of the reason why I think I want to go more towards like an in-person event because it just feels Craig, what did you say? It's just aesthetically displeasing or just super cringe?
I mean, I don't know. It's just a lot of the people that like post on LinkedIn and are always like in my LinkedIn feed. I'm like, I don't know. I think LinkedIn kind of has a reputation that it's like LinkedIn is the social media that's about not being on social media because you're trying to get a job that really will have you not be on LinkedIn. Whereas it seems like the people that are posting on LinkedIn all the time are trying to make a job out of LinkedIn, which seems kind of weird.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not, like 2 months ago was probably the last time I posted something, but like, I don't really use it to post things. And like, if I'm going to post something, I would rather be the truth. I more so looked at it as a platform to like build a network and just kind of like use your resources to get to where you're trying to get to. I've met great people through LinkedIn. Like I said, like recruiters reach out to me, even like different people from HR. And you know, if someone's looking for help and they reach out to me on LinkedIn, like I have no problem setting up a meeting. But it's really like that networking and like how I can help someone and how someone else may be able to help me. Like, that's how I look at it. I always try to, any way I can, if I can be a benefit to you, by all means.
Yeah. And that's, I think, what networking should be, to where it seems like a lot of the LinkedIn influencers are saying, like, wow, I'm networking today. I've gotten 120 new connections. And it's like, but you have no conversation. You're not helping each other. It's just like, it's funny because I keep wanting to put it into marketing terms, which, I mean, Justin, you're in the marketing space. So it's like a vanity metric. It doesn't mean anything, but it makes you feel good.
Yep.
Like subscriber count on YouTube. Like you could have a million subscribers, but then you've gotten like 1,000 views on your last video.
Yeah. Like, this is like an impression. Like you can get a like on this post, but is that post really like driving through? Like, is it returning that revenue back for you?
So like, right.
Okay. Yeah. I got 1,000 impressions on this post, but are people really clicking on this link to click through to my site, add an item to the cart and then checking out?
Yeah. So I guess my advice would be, and to put it into marketing terms, is LinkedIn, your LinkedIn bio should be your landing page, not your marketing channel.
Yes. You want it to be your landing page. It's like, I guess if you think about it, I remember like middle school, elementary school, you had to write your essays and you got like the introduction, the body, and then the conclusion. So like that LinkedIn page, like that's just like your brief introduction. If someone looked at, okay, I got a brief overview of what this person does and what they're getting into, how they go about it, let me reach out to them. So like just look at it like that. You wanted to, we're looking good on paper before they even dive in to try to reach out. And that way it reels in more.
Yeah, because I mean it's just an interesting ecosystem, because I almost feel like it's almost like a counter signal right now of like being an influencer. It's like, well, you're not working if you're posting 3 times a day on LinkedIn.
That's true.
You know, like the people who should be posting just are not. And I don't know. It's just like, I guess they're just selling things. But okay, the other question I want to ask you, Justin, was one thing I was looking into recently, because I've had like a little bit of a lull with the consulting work, was like a contract job, like getting like a 3-month contract for like, I don't know, some type of analyst position. How advanced is the work that you're doing in like Tableau or Power BI? Because a lot of the stuff I see online seems like super, super complex. And I'm wondering if it's, you know, like they say that the job listing is a lot of times it's a wish list as opposed to like, you know, what's actually mission critical.
I think it's kind of, I don't want to say this, it's a little tough question to ask, because for me, like, I do have a skill set within Tableau to where I know quite a few things. But then it's in the same, just like, it's a lot of things I don't know. So, like, when it comes to the level of, like, advancement, like, to mention, like, as an example, I showcased somebody, I was doing a mid-funnel analysis, and, like, I created this butterfly bar chart that, like, it blew the team away, like, they love it. So, to me, that's something that may seem a little simple, where I'm just, data here, one reverse, so they're looking like they're opposite. But then for me to really dive in more and learn more about like parameters and setting up various parameters when it comes to certain calculations and getting more in depth with that, like I've started using calculated fields a lot more and a lot more in depth. So that might be a little more advanced to me versus something that may be super simple to me. So am I making sense?
Yeah. So, I mean, what you're describing doesn't sound like super complex by any means.
Yeah, it's
so,
not. But
yeah,
as I'm learning certain things, it's like when it comes to like certain parameters and just set certain rules and guidelines on things, you know, I haven't so much done that a ton before.
Yeah.
It would be on like an as-needed basis, but having a knowledge of it now, I use them quite frequently. And like I mentioned, like with calculated fields, like I've done them numerous times, but it may be something simple as far as like, okay, what's the click-through rate, or what's the average, like AOV, average order value, and like just creating certain calculated fields. But when it's time to get more in depth, when I'm doing a certain type of analysis, it might be with a scatter plot, trying to showcase like a p-value and really driving in more on that, like being more involved in that aspect is a lot. Could be a lot more advanced for someone, in which with me diving into it at the time it was, but as I'm getting more comfortable with it, something that's become the everyday thing.
I'm curious about your the senior analyst. Like, yes. Do you see much of his work? Like, what's the most complex thing you've seen, either you've done or you've seen him do, like, as far as, like, the technical side goes?
I think more so from a senior analyst role, it'll be more like that head person over numerous accounts. So, like, with myself, like I mentioned, some of the accounts I work on are I work on Reebok, Nautica, Aeropostale, Lucky. I'm more of a direct, so, like, Reebok's my main account that I'm working on, but my senior analyst, he's really that head person or the head spokesperson for Reebok, for Eddie Bauer, for Brooks Brother, and for Nautica. So it's like, I may be taking care of things and presenting something, but I'm still kind of reporting back to this person to get things back in the line and make sure that we're on the same page and they can kind of lead that conversation when it comes to the customer or the client, and just making sure that they're driving at home or they may have a little more knowledge when it comes to certain complex problems or issues that may arise.
Gotcha. Craig Liam, you guys got any questions?
Yeah, I got a question. So I know that you said that you're in a data analyst role right now. Do you think there'd be, you think there'd be a little bit of a disadvantage if someone was coming in as a business analyst? What's the skill set?
This is a good topic.
A data analyst and a business analyst.
Justin, your title says data analyst, but would you say that you're a business analyst?
I'm more of a business analyst.
Yeah.
But I think that's an amazing point that you mentioned, because like they are two separate roles. And so like with that being said, I don't think if you're a business analyst, I don't think it's gonna be difficult for you to transition over and get into like the e-commerce or digital data analyst world at all. And I think the same way on the other side. I think it's more so about learning very little minute things that you have to get more comfortable with. But it's pretty interesting because I do realize when it comes to like the marketing world, I may get more inquiries about the marketing analyst world than the business analyst world. But I was a lot more well-versed on the business analyst versus that marketing side until I just started kind of honing that talent in and really polishing it up some.
Yeah, so it's essentially like you're a marketing business analyst.
Yes.
That's like your – because if you may – Justin, what's cool about like having this conversation with you is that we can kind of see the natural trajectory. Yes. To where I was just dipping my toe in these contract roles, and it was like, oh, you would have to know like deep knowledge of like finance to come in on a contract and like understand not only finance, P&Ls and all, you know, all the standard stuff, but that to that specific industry. Uh-huh. But being like a business analyst, I don't know. I mean, are the more it goes to that senior role, are you starting to get more, because it's like, okay, there's marketing. You spend money on an ad and then it drives sales, and you attribute, you know, how much, what the ROI is. That's marketing at a high level. But I'm sure that like as you scale up and you have millions upon millions of dollars spent, then you get more and more nuanced, right?
Yep.
And is that kind of where the senior analyst is? It's kind of like they're around the hedges, and then the more junior people are doing like the basic kind of marketing ROI analysis.
That's a good way to lay it out. Yeah. I think that's a great way to lay it out. Yeah. So it's like exactly how you mentioned it. Like I was working on an analysis a couple of weeks ago for a particular campaign that this brand was running. And, you know, like when I connected my senior analyst, is more so like ironing out the brief as to what questions we're looking to answer and like how we want to dress this up and how we want to go about diving into this and just making sure we're aligned on the same page. And then, like you said, like that layer right underneath that, like I'd be coming in and creating these visuals and just kind of building that story. And then like the layer maybe like right underneath to where I'm at, you'll have like my assistant analyst may come in and, all right, so you go ahead and like pull this data for me. And
yeah, that's nice. Format like this. You have someone else pulling the data for you?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, like if I've been working on numerous things, like, yeah, hands down.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you using SQL?
I do, but not heavy. So like, as an example, one of the brands, the way data was being pulled in from GA4, like through the SQL code, I wanted to check because we were pulling in a certain type of revenue without tax and shipping, and we needed to shift it to revenue with tax and shipping. And so like, just making sure that it's being captured correctly on the back end through the SQL code is more so decoding it in that side of it. We got a separate team that takes care of that. When I first joined the company, though, I was more involved in SQL, but now it's not as much.
Gotcha. Yeah, because that was an interesting point. We had a few lectures back, we had somebody who was like just deep knowledge of SQL. And like, are you doing joins, or are you just doing like select from?
It's more so like select from. It's not so much in-depth joins. But I don't know. The market seems very, from what I'm seeing, the market seems a lot more SQL heavy. It seems like people are kind of really catering, are really looking for someone who has that skill set to be kind of well-versed in it.
That's interesting. When you say the market, what kind of opportunities are you looking at? Like what opportunities are kind of like out in front of you?
So 2 weeks ago, someone reached out to me, and he was with a finance company. They do like auto loans, so finance auto loans for like first-time car buyers and things like that. And one thing that they were very, very big on was SQL, or just making sure that you know and understand SQL to the T. And kind of like with the question you asked, what William was on, to relate it back to that, like he told me, was like, you know, I can teach you this whole finance, the whole finance world. I just need you to come in if you know strong, if you're strong in SQL and like the technical side of things, creating visualizations and so forth. So for me, I was like, okay, well, that's nothing. That's too crazy. But then like, they're looking for joins, inner joins, a right join, and, you know, like how well-versed you are with these complex on SQL queries.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because I haven't, it's interesting because the path that I've gone down, I haven't been exposed to it as much.
Yeah.
Because I'm working with medium and small size companies, and it's basically just like a plug and play. Like,
you know. It is interesting too. I agree, because at first hand, like, be honest with you, a lot of people didn't care about SQL. If you know it or know like just a little bit of it or some form of it, that's what they really cared about. But I am kind of seeing, though, it's not huge, but if I had to put a percentage to it, I'd say like a good 5 to 10% more, whereas like companies are really inquiring and trying to dig in a little more with the SQL and making sure you're kind of well-versed with it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's essentially what John Pollard was saying, was that it's really good and useful to have SQL knowledge, because it gives you an understanding of how databases are structured and work and how to like layer them together.
Yes. So like something I've started doing is just really taking time and like getting more involved within SQL and like just trying to get a lot more comfortable with it.
Yeah. I do think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Thank you. I think my next thing is going to be like I know Python, but I'm not a Python guy.
Really?
I hate coding. Like,
that's so interesting.
Yeah. It's the debugging and everything is just, it's not me, but like I've done it, but it's not me.
Yeah. Actually, cause I told you I'm down at Poly.Carmen right now. I ran into a guy who, took one of my courses on Udemy, like just at a coffee shop. Turns out he's doing like advanced Python for, Formula One.
Oh, wow. Bless
and you. He like wrote a complete like GUI interface that like connects to like the traffic, like the everything they're saying over the radio, like transcribes it into text and then puts it into an interface. So like, yeah, there's some like, I think that might be like a hybrid of coding languages, but he's like much more on like the technical side.
That's
fascinating awesome. Guy. He's got like a master's in chemical engineering and then an MBA. And then it's like, he's just gone. And
I think it's gonna be amazing to see how things shift. But it's great to have a Python skill set under your belt, especially like with a lot of big talks of AI.
Yeah,
and just really honing in on that. Like, It'll just catapult you to a whole nother level.
I think the AI is interesting from the automation standpoint.
I agree.
Yeah, like how it can start to like take all the menial repetitive tasks and then you can just automate, you know. That's an interesting question to ask you. Like, how are you doing any of the repetitive stuff, or I guess is that the assistant's job, or have you automated most of it?
So like I have a couple of things that are automated, that like we built out to that aspect within Excel. It's where like a perfect example. Every Monday I have to put together like a spend report for certain brands. And what we did was we created like a whole macros chart within Excel. All I gotta do is just drop this data in here, click this button, refresh everything, and it's just like it's automated, it's quick. Or like within Tableau Prep, I have another one for Reebok, for example, where as I'm uploading the media data, I'm just really running this prep flow that's gonna pull in all the data from these platforms, and it just organizes everything to where I'm just copying and dropping it into the shared document that they use. But yeah, automation is great. It can take time to build out, but it's great.
Craig, Liam, do you guys remember what Bentley was talking about in the last lecture? Was it PowerFlow? Justin, are you developing in Power BI or Tableau?
I'm using Tableau.
Okay. Because one of the students I placed like just 2 months ago is now automating reports in PowerFlows. Apparently it's a Microsoft product. But he said something, students, correct me if I'm wrong, was it like it automates like 150 emails or something like that? Like customize, it has like the data, then it visualizes it in a certain way and then customizes it for each individual person and then just like sends it out automatically. Which, I mean, think about the amount of time that saves per week. I mean, you're like opening up so much time to go do like more exploratory, like higher level analytics work.
I think a lot of things are shifting to that realm of things where the automation is going to be huge. But in the same slide, you're going to need your analysts or the technical people who can kind of build this out, who's going to have an understanding behind it and to right. tell that story when it comes to certain things.
That's awesome. Craig, you've been quiet. You got any questions?
I think it might have been Power Automate, and then like the terminology in Power Automate is that you automate a flow.
Okay,
might have been what he was talking about. Because I was messing around with that. I mean, I've been doing some of that work in Power BI, and Power BI has a thing where you can interconnect with Power Automate for Power BI, and then import the data set through that, and then filter that data set into like the setup you have in Power BI to make a chart, and then export that automatically.
Yes, yeah, so like with Tableau, they have was on Tableau Prep. Excuse me, where you can kind of prep, you can build this prep flow where you can connect to the different data sources. And once you build all these connections and like your joins and decide what you want to keep, what you don't want to filter, and you can just run that flow to where it just automate your reports and everything to the visual that you probably created.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the transform data functionality within Power BI.
Yes.
Yeah, which it's interesting because I've kind of pivoted away from being a tool specialist and I'm more like a generalist now.
Okay.
Well, just because like I know each tool and I like have like kind of the basic level, maybe intermediate, but like That's an interesting question to ask you. Is are you going to like double down on Tableau and try to get like super advanced with it, or because you mentioned Python, like are you looking to kind of like diversify that a little bit more? Or
I do want to be a little more diverse. Like I think I'm super comfortable with Tableau to the point where like I can do a lot. Like from using it daily to just do so many things, like I'm super comfortable with that. So like, I do want to make my portfolio a lot more versatile within. My next thing is to really, like I've been diving more into like the advanced levels of SQL.
Okay.
So like just looking up things to practice on has been my focus in the past couple of weeks. So that's kind of, I want to take on to that step. And then from there, like really start getting more into Python and making myself more fluent and comfortable with it.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Do you feel like your business acumen or your technical skills are stronger?
I think my business acumen.
Yeah, because you've got like a, how long did you work as the, in the e-commerce team at Whole Foods? Because I bet that was like an amazing foundation for your career, because you like learned how, because you were basically doing like the back end of the Whole Foods grocery store, right?
Yep.
So you got to see the sales and the trends and like the in-stock percentages and all that. Like that, that must have been like a nice little playground for you.
Oh man, it was great. Like to really see how those things work. Like when you realize, like if you're down, let's say like 20% on one of your KPIs, and just trying to dive in to see like what's the problem, because you can be yourself, you can be confident for the week in sales, where you might have like a 30% comp, but then your sales might be down. You got a 30% like week over week comp, but then you realize, well, hold on, if we're comping week over week, the outcome is looking like I'm 15% down overall. Like, what's the status on that? And just diving into seeing like what's the out of stock percentages look like. Is there a break within the data? Or seeing what little fixes you can kind of implement to help drive the sales for your team. Something that was real cool with Whole Foods was when, I think I told John, it's like we had edamame beans. Like it was heavy on our report for like out of stock percentage, had a high out of stock percentage. But it was something that like it had been discontinued, this particular product, for like 2 or 3 months. Whereas like customers steady ordering this product because it's available to them online. But on the back end, it's showcasing out of stock. So when I saw that and really drove into that and just like following that lead and really building the track record to kind of showcase to like executives, hey, this is what this is looking like. It really changed the game for pretty much every store, where it's like, oh, so this is a break that we can go in and fix. But being able to go into those little avenues and uncover these little details is huge. Something I love to.
Well, this is a perfect segue to talk about interviewing. Because like those are the stories you brought into the interview at Tinuity, right?
Yes.
And then that like really helped you stand out.
Yes.
Because it's like, yeah, I've got the tech, because you were using Tableau and you were like, I mean, that's solid right there. Yes. So what was the interview process like? Did you go, man, you got a job, is it 8 months again?
No, it's been a year. Yeah, it just hit a year.
Wow, a whole year ago. Yeah. Did you go on multiple interviews?
Within Tinuity?
Within Tinuity and then also like with other companies?
Yeah, I had quite a few interviews. That was something I told myself, like, I'm not going to, like, I wanted to go remote for one, and I just want to just really build my experience, like, interview-wise. I told myself I'm just going to apply for a lot, but I had quite a few interviews.
Yeah. Well, and then so I'm assuming the technical side was more challenging than the kind of, like, behavioral or, like, you telling, like, you know, your stories, like, what's your biggest win?
I think for me, it was more of a challenge of telling the stories. So, like, a piece of advice that you offered, John, that was great, was quantifying things. Yeah. So, like, I can speak to a lot of the things that I may know or the knowledge I may have, but when I started to change my language and really start to quantify things within my interviews or to people, it was a total game changer, because now I'm speaking about a 25% increase when it came to week over week sales, or I'm speaking about how we were able to see, I don't know, 60% decrease in something, or like what I did to kind of help foster that in the right direction. So like really quantifying those things and giving examples was a game changer big time.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like a small little critique, but it gives you an opportunity to show your business acumen.
Yes.
Cause it's like, cause then they're going to ask you about it. And then bam, that's like a little microcosm of like, you're fluent in that conversation better than anyone else, because it's the work that you did in that specific business at that specific time. So, yep. I mean, that's a very unique advantage. But actually, you know what? Now I remember that, because I helped you with the portfolio.
Yeah, when I had to, within my continuity, we had to build, I had to create the game needs is a bunch of raw data, and I had to create a visual, a dashboard in Tableau. And yeah.
Because they said they loved it, right?
Oh, yeah, they loved it. Like,
What they love about it?
So when they told me, they was like, this is a visual that it was just like, you got everything here, but it's clean and it's not like distracting. Like,
yeah,
you can tell your story and everything is laid out here. It doesn't seem like you just threw something together and just kind of, all right, this is what it's like. Like being able to structure it to where like I'm telling the story from the customer's journey. Mm-hmm. And just how it flowed through when I created the dashboard. They were like, okay. Like they told me it was one of the cleanest dashboards that they have seen.
That's awesome.
That, yeah.
So why is that so important though, the clarity of thought behind it?
Yeah, so like when you're telling because when you're talking to like higher ups or just executives or things like that, like the average person, they may not have the knowledge that you have. So you want to be able to lay things out to a simple form as possible, because when I go to present this to you, I'm trying to show you what you want to hear, tell you what
Brand.
We need to improve on, and tell you what we're doing great on. And it's just in and out. So how can I make sure to relay that message to you as efficient as possible and just as, I guess, lame as we could be?
Yeah, because I think that's a common mistake like more technical people make, is they throw all of the data. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're talking to an executive, like a CEO, you don't want to know, like, in the weeds view of it. It's like, are my sales up? Or are they down? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that?
That's true.
Are we going to be okay? Are we going to, like, you know, like that's, and then if something's wrong or something surprising, then you drill down. But yes, it's kind of like that order of operations of don't overshare.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. All right. Because Craig, I know that you got to go pretty soon, right? Because you got your internship starting.
Yeah, I mean that's like at 3, but it's. I mean, you got 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, I was just, so I'm open to the floor if you guys have any. But I feel like Justin, we should have caught up separately because I've been asking. I've been hogging.
It's all good. It's all good.
In the conversation, because I didn't realize it was 8 months since we caught up, man.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's awesome to hear you're doing so great. Like that's,
thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Like it's been awesome. The journey overall and just like the company and everything, like it's been super cool.
All right. As soon as you guys got any questions.
I do have one. And we've asked this to a couple people now, so I'd be interested to see what it's like for you. When you're in your daily workload, is most of what you're doing individual tasks or like larger project base?
Well, that's a great question. I guess if I'm looking at it daily, it's probably like individual tasks, but I think what makes it, I would say if I'm going to say, let's say 60 to 65% individual, but then that 35 to 40% maybe like group work, because like I'm a part of a pod, and the pod that I'm with, we are over these different brands, and we just kind of collaborate on certain things. So if I'm working on an analysis, I'll probably connect with my pod, and you know, we do like this overview of what we're looking at and how we want to go about things, and just toss around ideas. I'll work on the projects I'm working on, and we just kind of kick it back to each other, what you think about this, and we still collaborate on it. So like, that's why I broke up. That's why I say like maybe 60-65% individual.
Yeah. Very cool.
But I think that's part two, because I'm remote. Like, I'm sure if I was in office, it'd probably be a lot more like group work.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good balance. Yeah, because yeah. It would be frustrating if you're stuck in meetings all day.
Yeah, there's weeks where it's like that, and it's like, it's, yeah, you stuck in meetings all day, and then like you probably got maybe hour and a half throughout your whole day to try to squeeze in some time to like knock out some stuff.
Liam, you got any more questions?
Yeah, I guess my last question would be, for you, how long did it take you to kind of get to the position that you're in now? And then how long do you think it would take you to reach a senior business analyst role or data analyst role?
That's a great question. I think within my position now, where I'm at with Tenuti, I think I would say overall, from starting out, it took me probably about roughly maybe 8 months to a year to get to into like the role, you know. Once I felt sharp and then like, you know, just gathering little tools and things like from interviews or just from connecting with people like John and learning. Yeah, that's about the time frame it took me to get into it. As for that senior analyst role, I honestly think that I'm a lot more closer to being ready for it. I would say probably by like the beginning of this year, I'll be more than ready to like dive into that. If not, I think at the latest, like summertime next year. Summertime next year is my goal to be within that role. But I think by the beginning of next year, I think I'll be more than ready for it.
So if you were to be asked this question of Justin, how many years of analytical experience do you have in an interview? How would you answer that?
Ooh, so overall, I have about 6 years of analytics experience.
See,
yeah.
Because the team, the e-commerce team lead,
yes,
that's an analyst role. It just didn't have the analyst title.
That's correct. So like overall, yes, I have about six, seven years of analyst experience. And that was from like the e-commerce team and within the Whole Foods retail world, but also like what I created with that chiropractor and the private physicians. I made sure to build up on that and create your opportunities. Like don't, everything's not going to come to you. Like find a way how you can make it happen. Create some visuals, storm up on Tableau Public. Like John, he forced me to do that. And
don't worry, I'm forcing them to do that. Yeah, like basically they're building their landing page this semester where they have their portfolio. They have, actually got, one of my friends who's a fractional CFO had a project pop up and they've already got a project that's worth $12,000.
Nice.
To the company, like quantified in their resume.
You know, what's so, like, so cool. He forced me to do that. And, I put the dashboard I had created for this interview on there, and like it just so happened, like the following week before I got my offer, I had another company who wanted to hire me. And as we're going through the interview, my public profile link was on my resume. They checked it out and they were blown away by, I had another simple dashboard on there. They were blown away by it. And they were like, wow, yeah, this is what we need. Like, this is what we're looking for. Like, visuals like this that we can just use and go from here, go from there. And just like, it helped. But I chose the opportunity that I have now because it was more in line with what I was looking for and what I wanted.
Well, just to unpack what you said there, it's pretty enigmatic of what's going on with LinkedIn. Of a lot of the visualizations you see online are brilliant and they're super complex and they have all this detail that is like designed for being cool and being an influencer.
So
where
true.
That dashboard that's simple and clean and puts out the use case and has UI behind it, that is for the potential employer. And I think that's kind of the crux of what's going on with LinkedIn right now. And I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if it changes. Like, it seems like they're experimenting with all of this. But I think what they're doing is just losing credibility. Like, less than a year of experience being the top XYZ voice. It's like, well, your platform is just like, Sorry, I'm like super frustrated with it.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
I don't mean to bet too much about it.
I'll say this in closing too. Like, I really appreciate, you know, one, you inviting me to join and connect with you guys. And feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. Like, if you ever have any questions or like, need advice about something, like, don't hesitate. Like, it may take me a couple hours to get back to you, but I'm pretty active with responding to messages and, you know, just building connections. I'm always trying to help someone any way I can. I'm strong on giving back. I encourage you all to do the same. But if you ever need something or just want to talk, like, let me know, please.
Awesome. Justin, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your time with us. That's awesome. And you're doing so well. Like, I really hope within the next 6 months you get that senior role.
Yeah.
And then you need to reach out to me and tell me that it happened.
I got you. You know it.
All right. Well, Leon and Craig, let's stay on. We'll take a look at your portfolios. But Justin, thank you so much. You have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Oh, yes, for sure. Thank you.
Hey, I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I'm curious, were there any valuable insights or lessons that you learned? One thing that could hugely help us out is if you just took 30 seconds and left us a review with a little blurb about what you learned. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.